W2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Peter King. Israeli military officials say they've hit more than 600 Hamas targets during the past few days, killing dozens of Hamas fighters. The targets include a missile launcher the military says was near a university. Israel has released video of its ground operations in Gaza. Correspondent Cammy McCormick has been watching.
The videos include rocket fire and armored bulldozers operating in the Gaza Strip. Palestinians in northern Gaza have reported fierce fighting and artillery strikes today as Israeli troops backed by tanks continue their push into the area. Thousands of Gazans continue to seek shelter around hospitals. The Palestinian Red Crescent says Israeli authorities have told them to immediately evacuate one hospital.
Another wave of American ships is headed to the region. Here's CBS's David Martin.
A defense official says a Marine amphibious task force aboard two ships in the Red Sea has been ordered to transit through the Suez Canal and into the eastern Mediterranean, where it would be in position for a possible evacuation of American citizens from Israel and Lebanon.
A federal judge has reinstated a partial gag order on former President Trump regarding his election interference case. CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum says Trump is appealing.
President Trump's lawyers continue to argue that he is the leading contender for the presidency, and this partial gag order will stifle his ability to address a pivotal campaign issue, the various criminal cases brought against him, all intended to hobble his campaign. Trump wants the freedom to speak to this issue, even if it means disparaging the judge, prosecutors, and potential witnesses.
Auto workers have reached tentative deals with two of the big three automakers in this country, but in Canada, 8,200 Stellantis workers have gone on strike. Here's WWJ's Jeff Gilbert.
The employees of Stellantis make products for Chrysler and Dodge and some parts that are sent to factories here in the U.S. Negotiators, however, remain at the bargaining table. Here in the U.S., negotiators for Stellantis reached a tentative deal with the United Auto Workers Union over the weekend.
And a national pharmacy chain is also facing a strike. CBS's Matt Piper.
More Walgreens walkouts. Some pharmacy staff will once again walk off jobs today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. They claim unsafe working conditions and a strain to vaccinate people. It follows walkouts 3 weeks ago. There are 9,000 Walgreens stores across the country, but these stoppages are said to affect hundreds of stores.
Ahead of the opening bell, S&P futures are up 26, Dow futures up 185. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Pay raises for district attorneys and public defenders appear to be having the desired effect. Vacancies are down since the raises went into effect July 1st. Wisconsin District Attorneys Association President Eric Tony tells Wisconsin Public Radio that morale is also better. Public defenders say much the same about retention and morale. Now, Tony says he wants lawmakers to create more prosecutor jobs to help lighten the workload. Tomorrow is Prescription Drug Takeback Day in Wisconsin. People who have old prescription drugs sitting around the medicine cabinet can bring them to one of 140 events happening around the state. There are also nearly 500 drop boxes where people can leave their old medicine anytime. Attorney General Josh Call says Wisconsin is consistently one of the national leaders in the safety effort, and it makes a difference. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Badgers lose to Ohio State. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers kept it close Saturday night at Camp Randall Stadium before losing to the Buckeyes 24-10. Last year, Wisconsin lost to Ohio State 52-21, head coach Luke Fickell.
Because of last year, because of some of those things that can creep into your head mentally, about what has happened in the past. I thought it was really important for us to come out and play well, especially in the first quarter, and following a plan and doing that and getting into the fourth quarter, and then fourth quarter comes and we can't execute.
Badgers running back Braylon Allen left the game at halftime and was spotted wearing a walking boot on his left foot. NFL, the Packers lost to the Vikings 24-10. Green Bay's offense making several mental mistakes. Because the Packers offense is such a young team, is that any excuse for losing four in a row? Linebacker Preston Smith.
I'm not an enabler, so I don't believe in, you know, the age thing. We all been playing football for a long time. I just feel like, you know, youth is an excuse, and I feel like we just got to go out there and execute.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Partly cloudy today. We'll get to around 35 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the west to southwest at 5 to 15. Tonight it'll be cloudy with some light snow developing by late evening. We could get a half inch to an inch by tomorrow. 26 the high tomorrow. Flurries in the morning. Windy. Clearing in the afternoon with a high of 35. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now it's 22.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. If anyone knows what's on tap, it's the Chippewa Valley. We're talking about everything that's on tap in your world today. 93.5 The Tap.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Welcome back to Up North News Radio, 7:06 on a Monday, October 30th. Nice to have you along here. Coming up later this hour, we'll talk to Missy Hughes of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation to talk about Wisconsin being named a national technology hub and the potential launch pad it could be for the state's economic future, as well as the benefits that it can bring to our health care and to our own personal health moving forward. Along the way, our number is 844-967-2789. You can email us, radio at upnorthnewswi.com. Selena Heller is with us, as well as Greg Bach, who is joining us from Waukesha, where... if I hit the button right, I can bring in here. There you go. There's Greg now. Greg, good morning.
Hello. Good morning.
Okay. And okay, you've met Selena, Greg. Greg, Selena.
We go way back.
Good morning.
Okay. Go way back at least, wait, 8-9 minutes here. So that's
yes.
Just fine.
Trevor.
Selena, Up North News reporter based out of Eau Claire. But first story that we're going to talk about in terms of things that you've been covering for Up North News actually gets down closer to Greg's neck of the woods over in Brookfield, where we have a principal of the year. And by principal of the year, I don't mean the kind of principals Greg Bach and I couldn't possibly live up to. We're talking the the principal, P-A-L.
Yes.
Tell us more about him.
Oh, yes. Andy Farley has been named the National Principal of the Year, and he's the principal of Brookfield East High School. And he's a very, knowledgeable. And I got a chance to talk with him on the phone for quite a while last week, and it was very inspirational to hear from him. He was one of three finalists from across the country, and he was selected. It was quite a lengthy process. Lots of items submitted on behalf of him from parents and students. So it was quite the process, and he was selected. And he said one of the things that he loves to do is, and that's important to him, his goal is to talk to each one of the kids in his school and learn about them and learn what their goals are, their pathways in life and their histories. And he just feels like those relationships are transformational for the kids. So he makes it a point for himself to try to do that. And so I think he is very deserving of this award, and he has 1,400 students in his high school. So that's quite a feat to try to get to know each one of them.
Yeah, without a doubt, especially since it puts a whole much more positive spin on the notion of what a principal is. And, you know, Greg can agree or disagree with me here, but, you know, long before, as kids, you don't think about the administrative tasks, you know, that a principal's running the school and there's paperwork and there's meetings. You know, the principal was, at least in my day, was the chief law enforcement officer. You did not want to get, it was one thing, you know, to be put, you know, sent to the corner or the hallway, but if you were sent to the principal's office.
No, thank you. Because my principals growing up were all nuns.
Yeah, see, that's where I was going. That's where I was going. And while I don't, I only did 1 year of Catholic school. My parents had both gone to Catholic school. My wife went to Catholic school, and they all have stories about the nuns. I mean, they would kick your butt if you stepped out of line, and you know nobody was going to stop them. And that's not, it's not what principals do these days. But that was kind of the impression we were given as kids, you know.
So, scary place. Yeah, yes, the principal's office.
This is
I think my background's a little different than yours, because I think when I went to the principal's office, it was, you know, because some award or something.
You were getting an award. Oh, my God. Boom. This is what we're dealing with here.
A whole different experience.
Another National Honor Society award. I couldn't possibly.
No, my locker is full. I can't hang another award on here. Poor Selena. But I am glad to see that, because you know, a teacher's work is hard enough, and any kind of support that you can get, not just from teacher's aides or parents, but from the principal as well, whatever turns that into a more positive experience is a good thing. So it sounds like you were definitely impressed talking to the principal and getting a feel for what leads to awards like these.
Oh my goodness, yes. He had so much to say, and you could tell, you know, those people in those positions are so caring and care so much about their students. So very deserving.
That's awesome. The next story that you're going to talk about deals with farm-to-table restaurants. But before I get to that, just the whole notion of cooking, I have to say that winter cooking has kicked into high gear here, at least here this weekend. I am an addict to the Instapot. And have made my first batch of white chicken chili for the season. Turned out so good. And it's also time to bust out the cast iron skillets. I made a shepherd's pie. Now before anybody calls in or writes in, you're going to hear from people. It's not shepherd's pie if it's made with, you know, ground beef. It's only if it's made with lamb. If it's made with ground beef, it's called something else. No, it's shepherd's pie. Okay.
Yeah, I would go with that too.
Nobody's making it with lamb over here.
That was just like, I like you. That was your old man take there. Like, it's, I don't care what I put in it. It's a shepherd. Yeah. I'll put shepherd in it if I have to. It's shepherd pie.
It's got real bits of shepherd in there, so you know it works.
I have neither in my freezer, so it's going to be a hamburger.
Yes. I love that. I saw a display of Busch Light in the grocery store one day. It was like the first Instagram video I think I ever did. And it just happened to come upon me that there was two kinds. There was apple, and then there was one that was dedicated to farming. And so I had the video on the one that said, you know, Busch Light with apple. It's got bits of real apple, so you know it's good. And I'd move the camera over here. This one, Busch Light Farmer. It's got bits of... And they go, oh my God, this is terrible. No, somebody tell somebody.
It's the only Busch Light Derek Van Orten would drink.
whatever helps the farm bill. Yes. Well done. All right, let's get to the farm to table restaurants instead, Selena. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yes, well, I focused on the ones that are actually open now here in Western Wisconsin, because we know there are kind of a whole array of them in the summertime, which is a whole different batch because they're open air farms to go to. And you have a whole different experience of seeing the beautiful Wisconsin countryside. So those have since closed. So now we can still go to farm to table restaurants in the wintertime. And there's a whole batch of them in Western Wisconsin. We've got the Lakely, the Informalist, the Good Wives, and those are all in Eau Claire. Restore Public House in La Crosse, Table 65, New Richmond, the Driftless Cafe in Viroqua, and there are so many more than that. And what's neat about them is a lot of them on their menus or in the They have a list on the back of the menu where their items are sourced from, so local farms. So whether that be meat or greens or watermelons or anything like that, you can tell where the items are sourced, and that those support local farmers, of course. So well, pretty neat places.
It is. It's a nice setup because, again, when you can be locally sourced, so many restaurants, rely on, wholesale distributors. And so I'm being a little too harsh when I say that some restaurants, it just feels like they backed up the Cisco truck and they're serving, whatever comes off the back of it. Mm-hmm. Again, nothing, you can't get everything local necessarily. There's a time and a place for distributors, but again, the more localized we can make these things, the more that we can lift up not just farms, but producers of all types of meat and everything else. That's good for local economies, and it's got to be healthier too.
Well, right, and that's one of the points too. It's healthy, of course, like you mentioned. It just all circles back into the economy, so it helps so many different things, and there's so many positive benefits from supporting farm-to-table restaurants. Mm-hmm. And the farmers themselves.
Yeah, without a doubt. I don't know the situation in Waukesha there, Greg, in terms of farm-to-table, though I will say, just in listening to one of the promos down there, that clearly you guys are very proud of your farmer's market in Waukesha.
Oh, we love ourselves a farmer's market. Yeah. And mm-hmm. I got one here in Waukesha. I live in Kenosha. We got one there. Two actually really nice ones. It's lovely.
Good. Yeah. Okay. All right. Hey, we're at 7:15 now, actually 7:16 now. And because we're doing the whole new setup with Greg over at the Waukesha studio instead of the Madison one, we may or may not get Jen in here from Weatherology with a forecast. Greg's just going to jump right in if in fact Jen is on the line. I'm just going to say temperatures right now are 30 degrees colder than they were this point on Friday. And they're going to stay good and chilly for a good long time. And let's see, Greg, that was that Jen by chance on there? All right. Well,
Jen.
All right. Let's bring Jen on right now and find out just how, if we're going to keep the cold weather here along for quite a while. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah. And it does look like essentially that's kind of the case here for today and tomorrow, those cooler temperatures. Today, sunny skies for most, a bit more cloud cover around Amory and Baldwin. Looks like highs in the mid to upper 30s for everyone, well below average for this time of the year, as most should be around about the low to mid 50s instead. We saw that cold front push through the area here, or through the state here over the weekend, so cool temperatures sticking around for today and tomorrow. For tonight, a chance for snow coming in for everyone. Accumulating snow expected around Wausau, west central Wisconsin, an inch or two possible for those locations. Then for Tuesday, still a chance for some snow across the board, mostly during the morning hours from Wisconsin Rapids northward, with skies becoming mostly sunny by the afternoon. Then throughout the daytime hours of snow for southern Wisconsin, looks like 1 to 2 inches of snow accumulating potentially around Oshkosh down to Waukesha and Milwaukee. Highs tomorrow pretty similar to today, mid to upper 30s once again. Midweek Wednesday, sunny skies closer to Lake Michigan, otherwise partial sunshine develops for everyone else. Still mid-30s around Amory and Baldwin to Wausau, then upper 30s to low 40s for everyone else as a warm front begins to push through. Thursday sunshine for most, little more cloud cover around west central Wisconsin, mid to upper 40s from Oshkosh southward, upper 30s to low 40s from Wisconsin Rapids north. And then to round out the work week here on Friday, cloudy skies for all, a few spotty rain chances in the afternoon for Baldwin and Amory, otherwise low 50s for southern Wisconsin, then lingering in the 40s for the rest of the listening areas.
And then in terms of that snow, I mean, is this something that we're going to see on all surfaces, or is it just mostly grassy surfaces, or are we going to look at a possible need to be careful on the roads?
Need to be careful on the roads, especially overnight tonight into early tomorrow morning.
Okay. Keep that in mind for your driving and for your trick-or-treating as well. Jennifer Fuchitsky from Weatherology. Jennifer, thanks so much. Have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
All right. And 7 a.m. temperatures include 19 in Hayward. And just, 18 degrees in Park Falls, 22 here on Lake Wasota, 28 Green Bay, La Crosse 27, Oshkosh 27, Waukesha 27 degrees as well. More with Selena Heller and Greg Bach. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is Up North News Radio. We'll be back. And your friends, baby, they treat you.
.5 The Tap.
When you're high, you feel different.
You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skill through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
93.5, The Tap. This is 93.5, The Tap.
Again, we noted Timothy B. Schmidt has a birthday today. Grace Slick, who you just heard, has a birthday today. Packers lost to the Vikings 24-10. The Vikings probably lost Kirk Cousins for the year. Bucks lost at home against Atlanta, 127-110. Badger football team fell to Ohio State. The Badger women's volleyball team swept Minnesota. The men's hockey team swept Minnesota, and they're number one ranked at the time. Badger women's hockey swept St. Thomas, and World Series Game 3 is tonight. More sports coming up at the bottom of the hour. Selena Heller is with us now, along with Greg Bach in Waukesha. And Selena, you know, you're stomping grounds in the Black River Falls area. I mean, they were in the news recently for that, for the flash flooding. I was about to commit that mistake of, you know, of bad flash flooding. Well, there's no good flash flooding. or that really quick bout of flash. Well, that's what the flash stands for in flash flooding. So, Selena, I'm not going to be no superlatives. Selena, there was flash flooding in Black River Falls. But it sure grabbed your attention, that video.
Oh my gosh, goodness, yes. So when all six gates of the dam in Black River Falls on the Black River are open, you pay attention. And it goes over the spillway, and that's what everybody kind of watches, because there's been a history in that area of some issues happening with the river and it rising. And in Black River Falls is known for the flood of 1911, so which wiped out really the whole entire downtown community, because the river is right along the downtown. So then in 2011, the dam went out. So in 2012, it got rebuilt. So it had a new capacity for water flow through there. And so this last week was the fifth highest crest it had ever had. The dam held up well.
And it was totally, again, unexpected in that we knew that there was rain coming that day. We knew there was heavy rain. But I don't think anybody was expecting the 6 inches or so that ended up falling.
Right. And this is what happens in the spring, not at this time of the year. So we expect that in the spring. But Black River is no stranger to those floods and through the grove, as we call it down there. So a lot of docks get washed away and boats, and they have to be prepared. And they had a lot of water come through there.
Okay. Just in time for Halloween. And you are, I see, properly attired for Halloween. That seems to be some kind of a pumpkin-y top there. And
yes, and this is our
what
pumpkin.
Is that? It looks like a painted pumpkin.
Yeah, we did a shave ice pumpkin.
Okay. Meaning you, there's a little white paper that's curled on there, and it looks like it looks like a snow cone.
Make it look frosty, so that will be entered into the school pumpkin contest this
spring.
And
to be clear,
where Selena expects to win.
No. Now, let's figure out how much of that was done by her and how much was done by Emery, who's 6 years old. Right?
Yeah.
I have her do it. I say, you know, pick something that you can do. It's not mine. So she painted the whole thing, and
she painted those nice straight lines on there.
She did. And she did the whole thing, and she put the stuff on it, and she wrote this.
She wrote that
you
too?
Can tell. Okay. Yeah. And she said, can I put hearts on it? I said, sure.
Greg, I don't know that I'm buying this. I mean,
she did it all. She wanted to make a camper.
She did it all. Pumpkin.
She did it all.
You will believe me.
She's a 6-year-old Michelangelo in the making, I tell you.
She did it. Pick something you can do.
So just in time for Halloween, you were also working on the creepy crawlies around here, spiders, bugs, things like that that are unique to Wisconsin. So let's get everybody sufficiently, chilled for Halloween, thinking about these little monsters.
Oh, my goodness. When I was looking for gross bugs in Wisconsin, I was so grossed out looking at these pictures. And some of these bugs, like go into animals and they live under their skin and they're just gross. And then some just stab another bug and then suck out their insides. And so there's a whole list of lots of gross creepy crawly bugs that are found in Wisconsin.
All right. And
awesome.
But you fry them up and they make for a tasty breakfast. And Whiskers has invaded the camera view.
Here's
now. Immediately heard bugs and thought, okay, breakfast, good. What's the deal there? Yeah. And for that, what Selena's working on there, you can go to upnorthnewswi.com or upnorthnewswi for all the social media posts and find out what she's putting up about that. And then one more, a place called Castle La Crosse. And if it's Castle La Crosse, we got to be talking about lumber barons. And by the way, Greg, why is it that we're talking about lumber baron? Let's bring the word baron back.
I like that.
I mean, why isn't Steve Jobs was a baron and Bill Gates was a baron? You know, Elon Musk is
barely a baron.
Well, I was going to come up with a name I probably couldn't say on the radio, but anyway. So we've got lumber barons, and the one of them had quite the place in La Crosse that you profiled.
Yes, a very fancy home. And the unfortunate thing, he was having it built and he passed away, so he didn't even really get to live in it. So, shoot. But his wife and kids did.
Shoot.
So how big is this house?
It's 30 rooms and 10 bathrooms.
Bathrooms.
Mm-hmm. In the course of its history, it was once sold to the Diocese of La Crosse. It was called the Bishop's House because the bishop lived in it. And then some private families after that. And now this recent purchase was a couple of guys. They kind of reinvigorated it to bed and breakfast. So there are 4 guest suites in it. It's beautiful. There are pictures on our social media pages. And the rooms are beautiful. And everybody who has stayed in there says it's just amazing.
Did you mention already the year that it was constructed or when it was built?
It's 130 years old, okay. Something like that.
All right. Mm-hmm. So right around the turn of the last century. Mm-hmm. Okay. You don't see many of them anymore, obviously. Over the years, they fall into disrepair, burned down or what have you. So it is a cool deal when something is salvaged and can be restored. Stillwater, Minnesota, up here in this neck of the woods would be, another one where you see a lot of bed and breakfast from these old, old places. But I'm not aware that I've ever stayed in any place with 10 bathrooms before. And I'm just not even sure why a lumber baron would need 10 bathrooms necessarily.
A lot of roughage in those trees.
You beat me to it. I thought, do I go there? No, that's why we brought Greg on. Greg will go there for us. We appreciate
that. We need one of those. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm your clown, friends. I am your clown.
Get him a little horn. So for Halloween then, Selena, did you take trick-or-treating over the weekend or is it a Tuesday night thing?
Well, we went to a little thing over the weekend and then other things that we've been, The Little Mermaid. I was Sebastian. So we have Ursula, but Barbies. It's going to be Barbies. I'll be Weird Barbie tomorrow, and she will be Cowgirl Barbie.
Wait, do you mean the Kate McKinnon character from the movie?
Yes.
Oh, that's going to be a photo.
we were on on Saturday. So I had to try to get the pink and blue out of my hair for this morning, which was a challenge.
Oh, never. Keep it in.
Keep it in. I mean, come on. Give us give us the satisfaction of enjoying a costume here. Well, good. And hopefully you were bundled up and everybody is bundled up tomorrow night as well, because it is just cold.
Yes.
Just another cold Halloween. Thank you, Selena. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. When we come back, Missy Hughes from the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation will be here to talk about the new technology hub. You're up north.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. Israel says it's hit more than 600 Hamas targets in the past few days. On CBS Morning's National Security spokesman Admiral John Kirby was asked if they were certain of those targets.
There's absolutely every right and responsibility for Israeli leaders to go after Hamas as a terrorist organization and to eliminate that threat.
The court says Donald Trump has to stop talking about the people involved in his election interference case. CBS's Anne Marie Green.
A federal judge has reinstated a gag order on former President Donald Trump. The order bars Trump from making public comments targeting prosecutors, court staff, and potential witnesses.
Trump says he's appealing. Auto workers at GM's Spring Hill, Tennessee plant have walked out.
We're looking long term. I mean, you know, if it's a short strike, it's not going to affect a lot. Long term, it could. But, you know, the more we make, the better contract we get. We're going to put that back in the economy, and it's better for the whole middle class.
There are tentative deals at Ford and Stellantis. CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Dane County judge has blocked a move by state lawmakers to remove the state's top election official. Attorney General Josh Call filed the lawsuit after the state Senate voted to remove Megan Wolf from the position. In a court filing, Republican leaders said that the vote was symbolic. While today's motion isn't the final ruling on the matter, the judge ruled that Wolf is allowed to continue serving as the state's election administrator until they make a final decision. Penalties could be on their way up for assaulting or doxing an election official in Wisconsin. A new bipartisan bill would also keep people from looking up clerks' phone numbers or addresses through public records requests. Local clerks from across the country say they're facing more and more harassment since the 2020 presidential election. If the bill becomes law, assaulting an elections clerk could mean 18 months in jail. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Bug Tussle Wireless.
Bug Tussle, we're out there.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Kreutz. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. It's What's on Tap for the Chippewa Valley. 93.5, The Tap.
Partly cloudy today. We'll get to around 35 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the west to southwest at 5 to 15. Tonight it'll be cloudy with some light snow developing by late evening. We could get a half inch to an inch by tomorrow. 26 the high tomorrow. Flurries in the morning. Windy. Clearing in the afternoon with a high of 35. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 21.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
93.5 The Tap.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group Wisconsin Breaking News today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Hi,
from Liney Lodge and Carson Park, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown and all of Wisconsin. 93.5 The Tap. K.
Back now on Up North News Radio, 7:34 on this Monday morning, October 30th. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Missy Hughes is about to join us from the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. We'll start by talking about a special designation for the state that we got into late last week and hear a bit more about that. But there was also a Wisconsin Economic Summit that we'll be talking about as well. And Missy Hughes joins us now. Missy, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Nice to have you here. Thank you so much for joining us. And let's start with the news of that technology hub that was part of President Biden's CHIPS and Science Act and all of the potential that it has for Wisconsin. You want to start first with your reaction to Wisconsin getting the technology hub designation? Because I know it was a lot of work to pursue that. Then we'll get into more about what it is. But let's start with the news that Wisconsin won that designation.
Well, it's tremendous news. There were hundreds of applications all around the country. And so for Wisconsin to really shine above those other applications, there were 31 designations out of, like I said, hundreds of opportunities. So we're really, really, really proud and excited about the work that's happened.
So how do you then describe it to, lay folks when they say, what is this technology hub thing? You know, what tangible expectations do we have from it?
Well, first and foremost, the Biden administration reached out all across the nation and said to different regions and municipalities, we want your best ideas. We want to know what's happening in your region and how that's going to help us with some of our most pressing national security issues. And so Wisconsin got together, we brought together a group of leaders and we said, okay, you know, where do we shine? And of course, Wisconsin's economy is so diverse that we shine in many, many different ways. But we have an up-and-coming biohealth ecosystem that we are particularly excited about. So from the Milwaukee to the Madison corridor, reaching up into the Fox Valley, Green Bay, over to Eau Claire, we have folks working on what we're calling personalized medicine. And so it's this idea that when you go into your doctor, you get treatment that is exactly personalized to what you're experiencing. So imagine, God forbid, Pat, that you have a cancer tumor. In Wisconsin, we're developing not only genomic sequencing for how to treat that cancer, we're taking all the data that we know all around the world, and we're putting that data into what's the best treatment for that cancer. And then we're developing the advanced manufacturing to build the radiography and the machinery, the CAT scans, the MRIs that are going to treat that cancer. And so what we're seeing is all the way from the classroom and the labs at our universities to the hospital rooms, the potential to really change the game when it comes to your healthcare. And so we should be incredibly proud that it's happening. But from my perspective, from the perspective of the economy, we're also excited that it's happening because it's a real opportunity.
Let's talk about the public-private partnership aspect of this, because you're head of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, which was once upon a time the Wisconsin Department of Commerce, but again now has more of a public-private face to it. These technology hubs appear to be an example of what, as well, of it's one thing to wait for the private sector to come in and hope that somebody comes in and builds a factory in your state or hometown. A public-private partnership does what in terms of, you know, making sure that the public sector, our elected representatives, our tax dollars have some kind of a role to play in economic development as well?
Well, what we're really wanting to do is take the public dollars and fill a market gap, right? If there's this opportunity that's happening, where can an injection of taxpayer public dollars really supercharge something? So if you think about our biohealth ecosystem that we're developing, the private sector is rocking and rolling on that. But honestly, they've been struggling a little bit with the workforce. And so the injection of dollars we anticipate will really help make sure that we've got the workforce to deliver when it comes to the research, when it comes to the entrepreneurship, and when it comes to the advanced manufacturing that we anticipate really seeing from this.
Okay, so there's a lot of potential here for this technology hub and for the job creation that could come from it. But you already hinted at something that is a very much a current topic, and that is workforce development, or, you know, workforce training, the labor shortages that we are finding in some industries right now. And I'm not trying to go all glass half empty on this, but if we have difficulties right now because of not only demographics, but also, frankly, in my opinion, a hostile legislature, if we have difficulties right now with the labor shortage, how does this technology hub, how do you help yourself make sure that, this is something that where it's part of the solution and not exacerbating an already existing problem?
Well, what we have to really keep in mind is that we can't stand still, right? I used to work for a farmer who would say, you're either moving forward or you're moving backward. You can't stand still. And so we have to keep moving forward in thinking about the workforce of tomorrow. And, you know, while we do have record high unemployment, record low unemployment. I knew that came Monday morning. we have to think about what are those jobs of tomorrow? And so where we have jobs today that are, you know, focused on taking care of somebody who's in really long-term chemotherapy treatment. And the reality is we can jump that patient ahead to a radiology treatment. Then we can see that start to free up some of that workforce. And so always thinking about where progress is taking us and preparing our workforce for it is really the key piece of addressing, you know, the challenges that we face today.
And that immediately makes me think of a case where we talked about helping people move from one group of jobs to another, and it didn't work out exactly that way. And that was NAFTA back in the 90s. And I think the economy paid a bit of a price because not enough was done to help workers whose jobs were, you know, frankly, outsourced to move into the jobs that we need now. The lessons that we've learned since that time, it seems to me, says all the more reason why we need to be supportive, not just of, say, the UW system and our tech colleges as a base, but to help them grow the work that they do to prepare a workforce. And that just brings me back to the UW-Madison, with all the potential it has to build up its College of Engineering, and yet that particular proposal seems stuck again in the state capitol. So you're certainly very well aware of the challenges we have to get people trained for the jobs of tomorrow.
Well, there was a lot there, Pat. The first thing that I'll say is I think what's really interesting about the technology hub is we're really looking for these things to be private sector led. In other words, the private sector is going to help us identify the gaps, and then we're going to come in as government and fill those gaps. The challenge where you have government really leading the market, I think, is when you see those kind of, kind of policy challenges that then turn into real problems. The second piece I'll say is, you know, every day I have to talk to businesses about either expanding here or coming to Wisconsin or just keeping their operations going here. And the key to that is the workforce. The key to that is investing in our universities and our technical colleges. And I 100% agree that we have to be investing in those. Those are institutions that have been created for over 100 years. I was at the 175th anniversary of UW-Madison on Friday night. We've already invested in these institutions. It's a shame to let them die on the vine, or even, you know, wilt a little bit. And so we really need to really keep investing in them. And we just have to keep talking to our legislature about that.
Yeah, especially with a record, you know, $7 billion budget surplus that we have going on here. But let's take a step back on the technology hubs, and I want to repeat, come back to a point that we made last week as well, and that is that this is not just people think, oh, technology jobs. These are things that are just going to be people in white lab coats, and you're going to need, you know, a postgraduate, you know, 6 years, 8 years of post high school training for that. To build the infrastructure of a technology hub, as companies come in, you need distribution and everything else that comes along with it. I mean, this is so much bigger news than maybe some folks appreciate. If this goes according to plan, right?
Yeah, I mean, the way I think about it is, if you think about hospital jobs right now, you know, there's a lot of people doing very low tech, hard working jobs. And of course, we're still going to need that hands-on delivery of service. But we're also going to need people to build these really high-tech machines. We're going to need people to be able to maintain these really high-tech machines. We're going to need people who are running these machines in the hospitals. And so the, you know, adding this technology to our healthcare will enable, you know, both the patient to get much better service, but also the delivery of that service to be much more high tech and a much more, you know, exciting opportunity for someone coming up in their career.
So that is a look at what could be a very bright Wisconsin future. Let's talk about the present here. And that was the focus recently of the 2023 Wisconsin Economic Summit in Appleton. And we're talking to Missy Hughes from the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation about that. You had a theme for the summit called Together, all about partnerships. So can you tell us a bit about the Economic Summit and the types of current day topics that business leaders explored?
Well, what we're doing at the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation is hosting an annual Wisconsin Economic Summit in order to really focus on where is our economy actually and how is it actually doing. There's a lot of noise out in the world about, you know, this and that and things going up and down. The reality is, when we talk to our businesses, when we talk to our workforce, people have their choice of jobs. They, you know, as long as they have the skills that they need, and our businesses are doing everything they can to hang on to their workforce. They're increasing benefits. They're looking at wages. They're thinking about flexibility. And our businesses, you know, when I talk to them, they are so anxious to grab onto the opportunities that they see out there. Their markets are increasing. Their opportunities are increasing. And so the Wisconsin Economic Summit provides us an opportunity to kind of regroup and say, okay, the economy is still very, very strong. How do we together address the things that we need to do in order to keep that going? How do we address making sure that everybody has a chance to get to work and to fully participate, whether it's, you know, through transportation challenges or childcare challenges? Those are the things that together we need to really be working on in order to keep the economy going as strong as it is.
And one of the topics that you covered was called innovative sustainability and energy solutions. And I'd like to know a bit more about that, because we spend a lot of time focusing on the human aspect, you know, the labor shortage and workforce development. But when it comes to energy and sustainable resources, especially in an era of a changing climate, these are the kinds of things that businesses, is it worth their while to learn more about it?
Well, this is another place like biotech where we really see Wisconsin businesses storming ahead. We had the opportunity to talk with businesses like Kimberly-Clark and U.S. Energy and the Menominee Timber Company and talk to them about what are they doing, what are the opportunities they see when it comes to sustainability. And it's both a question of they're meeting the consumer's needs, but also doing business more productively and efficiently, and therefore being more successful. So these are things that are already happening in the Wisconsin economy and in our industry. And so we wanted to highlight them and let people know that, again, there are more opportunities out there than not.
All right. So we've come to the point where you've talked about the things that businesses and investment would like to do for Wisconsin. But I have to close by saying that we're still in a fall legislative session. Do you have a wish list for before the legislature wraps up the calendar year?
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be investing in our universities and making sure that our university employees are taken care of. Let's get that engineering building built. As you said, we've got a record surplus. We should be investing some of that back in Wisconsin and thinking about the future.
Very good. Missy Hughes from the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. Missy, great to talk to you. Come back again soon. Wish you all the best.
Thank you, Pat.
All right. When we come back, we'll talk to Terry Bell, Civic Media News Director. Three things you should know to get the week started here on a Monday morning, October 30th, here on Up North News Radio. We'll be back.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Time out!
All right! Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap. This is 93.5 The Tap. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
No. The everything's intact.
All right, Terry Bell joins us now, Civic Media News Director from Madison. Greg Box here from Waukesha. And Terry, you and Greg, I assume, have chatted. How many more introductions do I have to do with you, Greg? I just don't know.
Well, all right, Pat. All right.
I'm trying to be nice.
Terry, I'm Greg. It's a pleasure to meet you.
We've crossed paths remotely before.
Yeah, but we've seen each other on the Zooms.
See, yeah. Here's the thing. When you're building a big old radio network and you're building it through all these Zooms and virtual studios and everything, we only got like the entire team together once, and it was last Christmas, and roughly 50% of the workforce caught COVID as a result of it. So, we haven't really done much all together since then, but I'm hoping we can rectify that eventually.
Yeah.
At which point, when you ever notice when that happens, what's the first thing when everybody says, "Oh, you look different." And what they mean is, "Oh, you're larger than I thought," or "You're taller," or "You're shorter," or whatever.
"Oh, you're a big boy."
Yeah. Yes. Or, wow, that's, there's a lot more gray in there than I was expecting.
My mom does that all the time. She says, she goes, oh, you got more gray in your beard than you used to. I'm like, you say that every time I see you. Mm-hmm. And that's just mean. Yeah. This is mean.
I know. Well, and Terry and I, of course, having both worked at Channel 13, we have the photographic evidence. We're always looking back and people going, oh, I remember you from TV. And we're like, how can you tell looking at us now compared to how we looked then, you know?
Oh, my goodness, right.
Oh, that was some time back. How was your weekend, Terry?
I had a really nice weekend. It was, there was plenty to do. You've probably talked about this. I haven't had a chance to listen in, but one thing that really struck me this weekend, and I almost put this in the three things, just how moved people are by Matthew Perry's death.
Yes.
Outpouring was surprising to me somewhat. I guess I shouldn't have been surprised, but people were really, really affected by that.
Oh, yes. I mean, because you knew that he was having struggles with addiction and that his health had taken quite a toll after that. But it does make it no less shocking, and that's the that is the unfortunate part. The Badger volleyball team.
Oh boy,
which
yes.
We always talk about every week. They won both of their matches over the weekend, including sweeping Minnesota yesterday. But I have to admit, Terry, when I mentioned it on Friday that they're going to be on TV, I saw on the schedule it said Fox FS2. And I thought they must mean, you know, Fox Sports 2. No, they actually meant Fox. That was the first time Fox has ever aired nationally on the network a volleyball match.
I think it's a great step forward. You know, women's sports, NCAA sports is really having a moment. Nebraska's big event at their football stadium a couple of months ago shattered records. Iowa, the University of Iowa, did something similar with the women's basketball team, and that was a huge success. The Badgers are responsible for a couple of attendance records so far this season in some of the arenas they've played, including Fiserv Forum. People are really catching on and seeing what a great product NCAA women's sports is, and they are rightfully winning a lot of fans. I suspect a lot of people tuned into that match yesterday. It was probably the first time they'd ever seen a volleyball match on TV, and I suspect they had a lot of fun watching it, even though it was not a close game. It was an exciting game, a lot of exciting rallies.
I think anytime somebody's exposed to it the first time, though, they just go, wow, there's a lot more talent. And it's not in the same way that when you see the beach volleyball in the Olympics and things like that, that this is a whole different animal, and there's just so much skill there. All right, let's turn our attention to three things to know to start the week. First is the latest on the Israel war against Hamas and the starting of a ground incursion into Gaza.
Yep, that happened on Friday. Right now, it seems that the death toll in Gaza is up over 8,000 people. That's the most recent number I could glean. But things are getting more violent, more dire, not only with the violence, but the breakdown of the social order. People are raiding warehouses of food. Civilians are getting really desperate in all kinds of ways. And it just speaks to what a tragic situation this war is all around. So, yeah,
without a doubt. And I think it's something that'll be with us for a while here. Number two on three things to know is about how several states, Wisconsin included, are suing Meta, the parent company of Facebook. And that's really kind of about protecting our kids in the areas of things like online addiction, right?
Well, especially, and kids are so susceptible to this. I mean, if I suspect a lot of people listening use social media, but you're always getting these push notifications. Your phone is going off, letting you know that there's something happening on this app or that app, which may not actually be anything of any consequence. But these features are built in to keep your attention, hold your attention, and these attorneys general, including Wisconsin's Josh Call, 33 attorneys general in all, are suing because they maintain it's been really bad for kids in particular and taking a real toll on their mental health in terms of, you know, how much of their, you know, teenage self-esteem is fragile to begin with, and then you add all this pressure to it. And also, you know, there was a memo from a couple years ago from Meta executives that they shared saying they absolutely knew about all this. Mm-hmm. Now the company says they've taken steps to improve this situation, but still these attorneys generals are saying not enough is being done.
And very quickly, the third thing is that there is now a winter heating cost forecast, I say, as it's 22 degrees up here on Lake Wissota.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. The good news is that prices are going down somewhat. The bad news is this still is forecast to be maybe the third most expensive winter on record. Fuel prices are stabilizing somewhat, but still quite volatile.
All right, Terry. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. Hey, Greg, thank you so much. Hope day one went all right.
I'm giving myself a solid B. Tomorrow will be A+.
Awesome.
Yes.
I like that attitude. All right. Thank you, sir. All right. Let's see. We've got Earl Ingram coming up next across much of the Civic Media Network. Chad Holmes in Wausau, Stephanie Miller in Madison, James in Wisconsin Rapids. Have a great Monday. We'll see you tomorrow.
Local talk about our hometown and all of Wisconsin has gone untapped until now. You're on 93.5 The Tap. Make sure and tell your friends. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.